أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. إن الحمد لله نستعينه ونستهديه ونستغفره ونتوب إليه ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا، من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلن تجد له وليا مرشدا. وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له، وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. أما بعد، فإن أفضل الحديث كلام الله، وخير الهدي هدي محمد صلى الله عليه وسلم، وشر الأمور محدثاتها، وكل محدثة بدعة، وكل بدعة ضلالة، وكل ضلالة في النار. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله حق تقاته ولا تموتن إلا وأنتم مسلمون. يا أيها الذين آمنوا اتقوا الله. أوصيكم ونفسي بتقوى الله. Dear brothers and sisters, in سورة العنكبوت verse 45 Allah says: اتلوا ما أوحي إليك من الكتاب وأقم الصلاة إن الصلاة تنهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر. That is, recite what is sent to you of the book by inspiration and perform your prayers, for prayers restrains from shameful and unjust deeds. So in this ayah, the Quran explains to us the purpose of the prayer. The prayer should restrain from shameful and unjust deeds. Yet, when we look around, we see a lot of Muslims who do perform the prayer, yet they tell lies, they cheat, they do backbiting, they do wrong things, they do a lot of things that should not be done. So something must be wrong here. Either the Quran is not correct, وَلَيَعَذُ بِاللَّهِ, or there is something wrong with the prayers that these people are performing. Because the Quran makes it quite clear, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. And in the Sunnah, the Prophet ﷺ said, مَنْ لَنْ تَنْهَوْ صَلَاتُهُ فَلَا صَلَاةَ لَهُ. If the prayer does not prevent the person who is performing it from doing all these wrong things, such as lying, cheating, backbiting, etc., then there must be something wrong. And obviously there is. And what I want to attempt today is to perhaps analyze a little bit why is this happening and how can we rectify this situation. So in the short time we have, as we're going to be having very short khutbas now, I'll just attempt to put some highlights and maybe we can discuss it further later on. So the scholars have looked at that over time, and what they came out with was that repetition, people who go into Islam, or the first Muslims, used to perform their salah, and the salah used to give the fruits it was meant to give. But as time goes on and people start repeating their salah over and over and over, over weeks and months and years, it becomes more of a habit than an actual form of worship. And interestingly enough, in the Arabic language, the difference between the two is just one letter. The difference between al-ibadah and al-ada, just the bih, harf al-bih. So what happens is that over time, and this affects all of us, including myself and everybody else, is that performing the prayer becomes a form of a habit rather than actual a form of a worship. Now, any religious act, whether it's salah, whether it's siyam, whether it's sadaqah, whether it's hajj, all forms of religious acts have got two parts to them. The external part, or the body part, for example in salah where we stand up and do the iqama, the ruku'a, the sujood. And of course the internal part, or the spiritual part, or the internalization of the action that we are doing. Now, just to clarify this point, imagine for a minute that you were going to bow or prostrate in front of another human being. Although, of course, in Islam, we're not allowed to do that. It's haram to bow or prostrate in front of any human being. But just for argument's sake, imagine that you were going to bow or prostrate, do sujood to a human being, another human being, a king or a great man or whatever. Can you imagine how you're going to be feeling as you're doing that? Obviously, you're going to be feeling, oh, this is such a great man. This is, you know, this is somebody who's so powerful, and that's why I'm doing that to him, or out of respect. However, unfortunately, over time, when we are supposed to be doing our ruku' or our sujood in front of the king of the kings, we lose this meaning. We lose perspective of it. We're just doing it. Quite often we will pray and we will forget even what we said. Have I done one rak'ah or two rak'ahs? Did I do my ruku' or not? Did I do my sujood? Did I say Subhana Rabbi al-A'la? We lose it. It just becomes a matter of a habit that we're doing without even thinking, without leaving the meanings of the salah. And that's why it loses its effect. So, without going much further in analysis, let's think quickly. How do we deal with this? Because it's something that we all face. It's something that affects all of us, except the very few, of course. But how do we deal with it? And I think that there are two levels of dealing with this problem. There is the individual level, and there is the collective level. So I'm not going to go too much into the individual level, but I'm sure that if you go reading, doing some research, you'll find that the scholars have written a lot about how can you achieve khushu' in your salah? How can you achieve the actual meaning of salah? And this can start from even, it should start from before the time of your prayers. So if you just put yourself into this mental state of, it's time for me to meet my Lord, it's time for me to talk to my loved one, it's time for me to elevate myself. Just think about these things before you even start your salah. And how it means, what does it mean if you're walking to the mosque? What should you be thinking? What sort of mental state should you be when you're walking to the mosque? How do you get yourself ready? How do you do your ablution? How do you do a lot of things? And what do you think about when you're reading Al-Fatiha? It's a dialogue between you and Allah. A lot of things which the scholars have written a lot about, and I'm sure that you can research it. And if you want, I would be more than happy to have a full khutbah to discuss how do you put yourself into the right mental state and how do you prepare yourself so that your salah has got the khushu' and then it will have the effect that it should have. However, today I want to concentrate a bit more on the collective level, because I believe that we have been, or most of us have been, taught religion in a wrong way, and because of that we tend to teach our children and teach the generations after us religion in a long perspective. I'm sure that the salah has lost a lot of its spiritual meaning, spiritual depth, because of the change of the religious approach to religious education. The way the religious education is now, unfortunately, concentrating too much on the apparent, concentrating too much on, for example, I'll give you an example that I have been personally through when I've been taught, you know, makharij al-alfaz. Do you say Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim? How many times, how many hours you spend trying to pronounce it in the right way? How many times you spend time, you know, discussing how do you stand in your salah? Do you put your hands in front of you or do you put your hands on the side? The difference between isdal. A lot of time is spent about, for example, discussing water. At-tahir wa-tahur. Which water can you use? All these things are mainly, don't misunderstand me wrong, all these things are very important. The basics are important. But they should not overtake the spiritual dimensions. The subconscious perception for prayer should extend to all our forms of worship. So as I said, the external habitus, the external actions are important, but they should not mask and overtake the spiritual dimension, because the spiritual dimension is the main dimension of all forms of prayer, and especially the salah. So let's go through some of the ayat in the Quran. Because I'm sure that, of course, a lot of people will say, oh, this is just, you know, the talk of the Sufiya, Mutasawwifa, these people who just go through all these fantastic things. It is not. It is the essence of our religion. It is the essence of the deen. Let's go through the Quran and go through some of the ayat and see how the Quran explains to us what salah really is. Now, in the Quran it says, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ. And if you look in the Quran, it's very interesting. It always says, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ. Perform the prayer. It never says, صَلِّي. صَلِّي means just go and pray. أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ is a different thing. It's got a different dimension. You've got to do it in the right way. And it says, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِ. لِذِكْرِ means the reason why you are performing salah. You are performing salah. لِذِكْرِ means for my remembrance. So you are performing the salah to remember Allah, for the remembrance of Allah. So if we are performing our salah, and while as soon as we say Allahu Akbar, I start thinking, what appointments do I have? How is my business doing? Am I going out this weekend? What am I doing tomorrow? How are the kids? Immediately, I'm not remembering Allah. I'm just standing there performing movements, but I am not remembering Allah because I'm preoccupied. So immediately this ayah falls out of place. Now the other ayah that I already referred to, إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Salah, prayer, should prevent us, should stop us from doing any shameful or unjust deeds. So if I'm doing shameful and unjust deeds in my life, it's very simple. I am not performing my salah properly. It means that it is not having the effect it should have on me, and the problem is with me, with my salah. I should go back and see what's happening there. Where's the problem happening? In the Quran, it talks about al-munafiqeen, the hypocrites, where it says, وَإِذَا قَامُوا إِلَى الصَّلَاةِ قَامُوا قُسَالًا. When they get up for their prayer, they drag themselves. They really don't want to do it. They feel, oh, it's a drag. It's a hurt, you know, it's a feeling that it's something that I have to do. And I'm sure that we all get these feelings sometimes. And of course, inshallah, none of us wants to be in this category of munafiqeen. However, let's see the difference. Let's look at Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. When it was time for prayer, he would sit there and then he would call Bilal, who does the adhan, and says, Arihna biha, ya Bilal. Let's comfort us by calling for the prayer. So prayer was a form of comfort for him. It was something that he loved doing. And this is how it should be for us. It shouldn't be the feeling of وَأَرِحْنَا مِنْهَا يَا بِلَال. You know, I'm going to perform dhuhr so that I finish it because it's something I have to do. Come on, I want to finish it quickly because I've got to go back to doing whatever I'm doing. And I hope I can pray with قُلْ وَاللَّهُ أَحَدُ وَإِنِّي أَتَنَكَ الْكَوْثَر so that I can finish quickly because I'm in a rush. And then when I'm reading, I'm not even thinking about what I'm reading. I'm reading very, very quickly and I forget what I'm doing. And I'm thinking about it. This is exactly what we all fall into, and this is what we need to be careful about. So our prayer, when it's prayer time, we should be looking forwards to it. It should be أَرِحْنَا بِهَا يَا بِلَال. It should be something that we are looking forwards to. It should be something that we perform because it gives us comfort. It should be something that we perform because it gives us pleasure, not something that we just perform to get out of the way because, oh, I don't want to get punished, I don't want to go to hellfire. So I'm just going to do my prayers very quickly. This is not the idea of the prayer. Let's look at other ayat in the Quran. In Surah Al-Qiyamah, it says, فَلَا صَدَّقَ وَلَا صَلَّى وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبَ وَتَوَلَّى. So in this surah it says, فَلَا صَدَّقَ, he did not give his charity, وَلَا صَلَّى, and he did not perform his prayers. وَلَكِنْ كَذَّبَ, he did not believe, he was a disbeliever, وَتَوَلَّى. تَوَلَّى means turned away. Now, I know that I don't want to go too much into the Arabic language, but if we look into this ayah, it gives here the word salla, and the opposite of it, or what is against it, tawalla. It means salla, it should be you should be looking forwards, you are facing Allah, you are talking to Allah. Tawalla means turning away. So the opposite of salah is to turn away. Turning away, we all know that, and I'm sure we all know that, because we've been taught that. If you turn away with your chest, or if you turn away with your head while you are praying, your prayer is nullified and you have to repeat it. We all know that. But what about if you turn away with your heart? When you stand up to pray in front of Allah, the hadith tells us that Allah stands in front of us. Not literally, of course, because Allah does not is not limited by space. But literally speaking, Allah faces us. He stands in front of us. And when we are praying, Allah does not look at our bodies, He looks at our hearts. So we all know that we shouldn't be turning with our chest or our bodies. We can't turn away while we're praying. And we know that if we do that by mistake, the prayer is nullified. We repeat it. But what about our hearts? How many times have we prayed and our hearts were not facing Allah? Our hearts were preoccupied with something different. How many times have we done that? And this is what the Quran in Surah Al-Qiyamah warns us of. In another ayah in Surah An-Nisa, Allah says, يَا أَيُّهَا الَّذِينَ آمَنُوا لَا تَقْرَبُوا الصَّلَاةَ وَأَنْتُمْ سُكَارَى حَتَّى تَعْلَمُوا مَا تَقُولُونَ. Everybody knows this ayah. O you who believe, do not perform your prayer while you are drunk, so that you know what you are saying, so that you understand what you are saying. Now, this ayah has been explained by many scholars on several levels. So if we take it on the very apparent level, which is, you know, at the beginning of the da'wah, when you know that drinking alcohol was prohibited in stages. So at the first stage, the first Muslims were not prohibited from drinking alcohol per se, but they were prohibited from performing the prayer while they are drunk, so that they can understand what they are saying, so that they realize what they are saying. However, there is a deeper meaning to this ayah, because some of the scholars have said sukr, being drunk, doesn't necessarily have to be alcohol drinking. It might be sukr bil haya. You're just too drunk with life. You're too involved with life. So when you are performing your prayer, you don't understand what you're saying. When we're reciting our Quran, we don't understand what we're saying because we're too preoccupied with something else, the same meaning. So whether you take it literally as being sukara from drinking alcohol, drunk from alcohol, or sukara from being too preoccupied with life, the meaning is the same. It says, لا تقربوا الصلاة. Do not even approach prayer if you don't understand what you're saying. Do not approach prayer, because prayer has got a meaning. We've got to be able to understand what we're saying. And these are all ayat from the Quran, from Surah An-Nisa. In Surah Taha, Allah says, وَأَنَا اخْتَرْتُكَ فَاسْتَمِعْ لِمَا يُوحَى إِنَّنِي أَنَا اللَّهُ لَا إِلَهَ إِلَّا أَنَا فَاعْبُدْنِي وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. In Surah Taha, it says, same thing, أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةَ لِذِكْرِي. It did not say, فَاعْبُدْنِي وَصَلِّي. Sorry, if I need to translate that a bit, but in Surah Taha, Allah is saying, I have chosen you, so listen to me, listen to what I'm showing you. I am Allah. There's only me, only one ilah, one God, which is me. So worship me, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ, and perform the prayer for my remembrance. Two things. Allah did not say in this ayah, فَعْبُدْنِي وَصَلِّي. No, He said, وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ. أَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ means perform the prayer, means do it as it should be done. And then it explains what is the purpose of the prayer, لِذِكْرِي, for my remembrance. So we can't remember Allah if our heart is not present in our salah. We can't remember Allah if we are preoccupied with the world. We can't remember Allah if while we are praying, we are thinking about what are we going to do with our business and so on. And over and over and over. So many, many ayat in the Quran that show us the purpose of the salah when it comes to remembrance. Now, another purpose of performing the prayer is the attitude and mannerism. So in your dealings, in everyday, day-to-day dealing with people, the salah should reflect on your dealing. And we already spoke about this ayah, which says, وَاتْلُوا مَا أُوحِيَ إِلَيْكَ مِنَ الْكِتَابِ وَأَقِمِ الصَّلَاةِ إِنَّ الصَّلَاةَ تَنْهَى عَنِ الْفَحْشَاءِ وَالْمُنْكَرِ. Allah, the prayer should prohibit from shameful and unjust deeds. So we already discussed this before. So a second purpose of the prayer, we pray for the remembrance of Allah, number one. Number two, the result of this remembrance and the result of this prayer should reflect on our daily attitude and dealing with other people. So salah is like your, if you like your mobile phone. If you don't charge your mobile phone, it runs out of battery. And that's why we have to charge our hearts five times a day. We plug in, and this is something that Allah has given us, you know, especially as Muslims. Anywhere on earth. It doesn't have to be in a mosque. You can anywhere. You can just stand in front of Allah, plug in and start talking to Allah and charge your battery. And this is a great blessing from Allah that He's given us. So the purpose of 5 daily prayers is to plug in 5 times a day to make sure that we are recharged 5 times a day. The purpose is not to just go in home at the end of the day and do your 5 prayers very quickly while you're tired, exhausted, and you just do them very quickly without even thinking about it. This is not the purpose of the prayer, and this is when the prayer does not bring its fruits. Now, another blessing of Salah, another purpose of Salah, is that it helps us to deal with difficulties and day-to-day life, where Allah says in the Quran, وَاسْتَعِينُوا بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَاةِ, and use patience and prayer. وَإِنَّهَا لَكَبِيرَةٌ إِلَّا عَلَى الْخَاشِعِينَ. So the prayers will help you go through your difficulties and through day-to-day life. But this is difficult, except for who? For those who have khushu' in their salah. For those who have presence of the heart in their salah. So it's making very, very clear here. If we perform our salah properly, then this is going to be a means of helping us get through difficulties of life, helping us getting through day-to-day life, helping us living a much better life. Another ayah in the Quran, Ya ayyuha alladhina amanu, O you who believe, ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah, and make use of or use sabr, that is patience, was-salah and prayer. Inna Allaha ma'a as-sabirin. وَلَا تَقُولُ لِمَنْ يُقْتَلَ فِي سَبِيلِ اللَّهِ أَمْوَاتٌ بَلْ أَحْيَاءٌ وَلَكِنْ لَا تَشْعُرُونَ وَلَنُبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. So Allah is giving us all sorts of problems, difficulties that we could face in life. شَيْءٌ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ, fear, جُوع, hunger, نَقْصٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ, short of money, being broke, not having enough money. Well, anfus, shortness of peace, you know, you feel you're alone, you're lonely, nobody is behind you, nobody is standing with you. Thamarat, income or produce. All these things are sort of things that you can face in life. And how do you face them? By performing your salah properly and having sabr. Another ayah, Allah says, إِنَّ الْإِنسَانَ خُلِقَ هَلُوعًا إِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا. The human being has been created, Allah has created him, panicky. He panics very quickly if anything goes wrong. وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الشَّرُّ جَزُوعًا. If something goes wrong, he collapses. He goes into pieces. Breaks down. وَإِذَا مَسَّهُ الْخَيْرُ مَنُوعًا. And if good things become of him, he becomes niggardly. إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ. Except one category. One category of people who are exempt from the way other people are. People who perform their prayer. So people who perform their prayer will be able to live a much happier life. They will not be panicky. They will not collapse at the first difficulty that faces them in life. And then the rest of the ayah is إِلَّا الْمُصَلِّينَ الَّذِينَ هُمْ عَلَى صَلَاتِهِمْ دَائِمُونَ. Those who do their prayers regularly. Those who do their prayers continuously. So, just to end up here, because it's a long subject, the purpose of prayer is to produce in a human being tolerance, stamina, doing good to other people, dealing with other people, acceptance, happiness, and reliance of Allah. If we want to get all these fruits of prayer, we must perform our prayers properly. أقول قولي هذا وأستغفر الله لي ولكم فاستغفروا. الحمد لله رب العالمين والعاقبة للمتقين ولا عدوان إلا على الظالمين وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له الملك الحق المبين وأشهد أن سيدنا محمدا عبده ورسوله. Just a quick reminder, this is the last Friday in this year, in this Hijri year, because we know that this Hijri year is going to come to an end soon, inshallah. Now, it is not the sunnah to celebrate the Hijri year the way that the Georgian Gregorian year is celebrated with big things. But it's a good opportunity for us to remember that a year of our life has passed, another year is starting. If you look back on that year, you'll find that there were many people that were around are not around anymore. Nobody knows who's going to be around in the next year. If you look back and see what have we performed in the past year, and take heed of that and try to have a plan for better performance in the coming year, inshallah. And just a quick reminder that, you know, the Hijri year, which was not actually started in the time of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam. It was started in the time of Khalifa Umar ibn al-Khattab, when the Muslims wanted to have the timing to be able to calibrate the years. And they decided there were many ideas about whether they should start it with the birth of Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam or from his death or whatever. And Sayyidina Ali came up with the idea that it should be from the Hijra, as the Hijra is the time when they immigrated, and this was the real beginning of the Islamic society as such in the Medina, and that's where they decided to start the Hijri year from the time of the Hijra of the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And so that's how it is. But the 12 months that were there from the beginning. So as I said, it's a good opportunity to take heed of it, to remember that a year is past, but we don't necessarily celebrate it in an outrageous way. If you want to use the opportunity to do some extra prayers or whatever, that's fine. There's nothing wrong with that. But it is not the sunnah, because the Prophet has taught us that there are only two Eids that we celebrate, which is the Eid al-Adha and Eid al-Fitr. اللهم أرنا الحق حقا وارزقنا اتباعه وأرنا الباطل باطلا وارزقنا اجتنابه اللهم اكفنا بحلالك عن حرامك واغننا بفضلك مع من سواك اللهم ارحمنا بترك المعاصي أبدا ما أحييتنا وارحمنا بترك ما لا يعنينا وارزقنا حسن النظر فيما يرضيك عنا وألزم قلوبنا حفظ كتابك كما علمتنا اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين اللهم انصر الإسلام والمسلمين ربنا آتنا في الدنيا حسنة وفي الآخرة حسنة وقنا عذاب النار وأدخلنا الجنة مع الأبرار وآخر دعوانا الحمد لله رب العالمين عباد الله إن الله يأمر بالعدل والإحسان وإيتاء ذي القربى وينهى عن الفحشاء والمنكر والبغي يعظكم لعلكم تذكرون فاذكروا الله يذكركم واستغفروه يغفر لكم وأقم الصلاة يرحمك الله